Thank you for that warm introduction. The truth is, the schus is mine. When I first heard what Phil and the gang do here, I was amazed, because I've been to many different communities, and I must tell you, this is a remarkable Kiddush Hashem. To know that there's a community that works so diligently and consistently and effectively, to be able to change their way of reaching out and connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to give you the ability, the wherewithal, to continue your wonderful Avodas HaKodesh. I'd like to begin with a story. Many years ago, there was a radio station. They were losing listeners, and they ran a contest. The contest offered the following prize. If you listen for a certain period of time, and if you won, then you would have the opportunity to go to a bank vault in a local bank for 10 minutes. And when the clock would start, the 10 minutes would run, you'd be able to run around in the vault and gather as much money as you want. Many people called in, you can imagine, and one day they selected this fortunate individual who was the winner. The lucky day arrived, and the winner was very excited. And before he started to actually go into the vault, he kind of started to imagine, to visualize what he would do with this tremendous new wealth. He figured he'd probably buy a new car, go on vacation, work a little bit less in his job. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. All he needed was 10 minutes to change his life, to change his fortunes. You can imagine, before the contest started on that day, he came to the bank vault and he started to consider some of the strategies. It's not enough to go into the bank vault and grab as much money as you can. What you really need to do is to make sure you maximize the 10 minutes. For example, a strategy might be, go to where the larger bills are. You know what the largest bill in circulation is? I also didn't know. It's a $100 bill. So he figured, you know what, I'm going to go to the place in the bank vault. Well, they have the 100s. Try to grab as many 100s as I can. I'm going to see singles and fives. Don't stop for those, although there's a temptation to do so. So he would try to get as much, as many 100s. Another strategy that he considered. People are coming into the vault. They don't know what he's doing. They have their own business to take care of. We'll probably see some friends in the vault. Don't stop the schmooze. You can't afford during those 10 minutes to stop for a moment to schmooze with a friend, because the 10 minutes are so valuable. It can change your life. Also, you're probably going to get very tired. 6 minutes, 5 minutes, right? 4 minutes to go, 3 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go. Probably going to be exhausted. You're running around. One of the conditions was that he needed to carry a big bag. And when he took his money from the vault, he needed to stuff the money into the bag that he's schlepping around. He'd probably be exhausted. Don't stop for anything. Every moment is valuable. You can probably change a life. With 1 minute to go, he was exhausted, carrying out the big bag over his shoulder. But he didn't stop, because he knew one more minute can make a difference. And when he finally finished and he walked out of the bank vault, logging this big bag over his shoulder, he looked exhausted. One of his friends, who didn't realize that he had won the contest, passed him by and wondered to himself, why is he working so hard, schlepping this big bag? He looks exhausted. I feel so bad for him. This is an adaptation of a true story. Years ago, I read about this. And when I spoke about this years ago in some shul, in some community, someone came over to me afterward and said, they know the person that won. And he won over $100,000. So everybody would probably want to be that lucky individual. We have a similar opportunity. Be'ezus Hashem, we have an opportunity not for 10 minutes. We have an opportunity in a couple of weeks to start our 10-day opportunity of going into the vault. It's interesting. Rav Shishadov Pinkus, in his Sefer She'arim B'Tfilah, writes about Tfilah, HaTfilah Hi Hashar B'Hadelis L'Yotzar Shamayim. It's the gate And it's the door to the treasures. It's the bank vault in heaven. And the good news is we are all entered into the contest. 10 days in the Aser Semit Tshuva. And not only that, it's easy to win. As the Pasuk tells us, Dishu Hashem b'yimotzi k'roi b'yoysa k'roi. Hashem will meet us halfway. We're all entered in this wonderful, wonderful contest. 10 days. 10 days of tefillah. 10 days of tshuva. 10 days to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the things that we want. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein writes, when we say Zachreinu L'chaim, Zachreinu L'chaim is not just that we're asking for life. We're asking for everything that impacts on our life. Health, our livelihood, to remove obstacles and difficulties. All those things that we need to succeed in our life. All that is included in Zachreinu L'chaim. So when we daven in the Aser Semei Tshuva, and we say Zachreinu L'chaim, we can win. We can win a livelihood. As the Gemara Masechta Neda tells us, Ma Yasa Adam, what should a person do? Be Yisasha to become wealthy. And the Gemara tells us, Yivakesh Rachamim. Shadavim, beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lamisha Oish Shalai. These 10 days we have an opportunity to win intelligence and the ability to understand, to succeed in life. As the same Gemara said, Mayas Adam Yechakim, what should a person do to become wise? And the Gemara tells us, Yivake Shrachamim, Davin, Mimisha, Chokma Shalai. We have an opportunity to win with our most prized possessions, called our children. Because the same Gemara said, Mayasa Adam Yile Bonim, Yivake Shrachamim, Mimisha, Bonim Shalai. The Rambam tells us that health is all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These 10 days, Ne'aseh Semei Tshuva, Be'ezus Hashem, we will be a contestant in the vault. In the vault for the things that are dear to us. As the Gemara tells us that for tefillah chaye shor is tefillah. And Rashi tells us that for mezoinos, for shalom, and for gezunt. Tefillah is a tremendously powerful vehicle. Each of the words that we say, especially in the Shmoneh Esrei, have tremendous power. The Nefesh HaChayim tells us, and the Bi'ah Halacha brings it down. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, there were 120. Imagine if I said to you that there's a convention, people from Microsoft, from Dell, all the big computer companies, they're going to create this remarkable, powerful machine that can solve all problems. Even when your computer freezes, that's right, they can solve all problems in the future. And they're all gathered. I passed by one of the hotels on the way here. They must have been there. 120 visionaries. People that have a lot of experience. People that can tell the future. That is what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did. Says the Bi'ah Halacha, there were 120 Zakenim, and from them many Nevi'im. And when they put together the Shemoneh Esrei, they knew our problems in our year, in our age. And they wrote words. He writes, the combination of the letters had soidois, nelomois, v'nezgobois, deep and mighty, powerful, hidden secrets. And when we say these words, tremendous power. The truth is, we have a better and a greater opportunity than this individual who was in the vault. Because during these 10 days we know, Utshuva, Utfila, Utstaka, Ma'avir, Nisra, HaGezerah. When you're in a vault, all you can do is get your hands on money and that's it. You can't solve any of your other problems. In the Aser Semei Tshuva, if there's a Raya HaGezerah, Utshuva, Utfila, Utstaka. Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes that Utshuva, Utfila, Utstaka, each one on its own has the koyach to be mad with the Raya HaGezerah. And he explains it's true, tshuva, a person has a kapara. But with the others, a person's roya hagazera, the evil part of the decree, the part that causes them difficulty, you can override it. We have a tremendous opportunity in this vault called the Aseres to make tshuva. But just like the individual in the vault who tried to gather as much money as he can during those 10 minutes, and he developed strategies, we too need to develop a strategy. Because it's not enough to know that tefillah is the most powerful vehicle for chai yeshua, for the things that we need. We have to figure out a way to access its power, to use it, to allow it to come to fruition for our benefit. There's a beautiful story in Praying with Fire, Volume 1, about a person who lives in unbearable poverty his entire life. He never has enough money to pay for food, can't pay his bills, can't help anybody, can't go on vacation. But there's a rumor that there's a treasure underneath the floorboards in his living room. And every once in a while he'd walk by and he'd give a little kick with the heel on his shoe and hoping he'd hear the jingling of coins of gold, but heard nothing. Heard absolutely nothing. He lives his life on the very last day of his life. A man walks in, pulls up the plank, and reveals an iron chest full with gems and gold. All the wealth that this dying man could have ever had in his life was in that chest, was in his home underneath the floorboards. His whole lifetime, a miserable struggle plays out before his eyes. He can't believe. Why didn't he ever pick up the plank, the floorboards? His whole life would have been different. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, explaining Pshat, U'magid lo'odo ma'seicho. He recounts to a person what were his deeds. And the Nefesh HaChaim explains that refers to the revelation people will experience Achamei v'Yesrim after 120 years. They will be shown there were certain gifts you could have had in your life if you would have only believed in the Koyach HaTfilah. And Rapam explains, people will be shown that their tefillahs could have made a difference if they would have davened their tefillah with kavana, because that is really the starting point to igniting the power of prayer. We know what the Abu Draham tells us. According to the level of kavana, will prayer be accepted? But it's not enough to say that I know that tefillah is powerful. It's not enough to say that. It's not enough to believe that tefillah has a tremendous koyach. And I have a raya from Parshas Noach. Because we all know Noach HaTzadik. We know about Noach. Esel Akim Eshalat Noach. And yet what does Rashi tells us? Noach was Miktanei Amona Hoya. He did believe. He didn't believe. How could that be? Noach the Tzadik. So the stipler in Birchas Peretz and Parshas Noach explains, Noach was a maimon. He definitely believed. He was a tzaddik. But the level of his belief was a belief in emunah sichlius. It was an intellectual belief. It wasn't a belief based on experience. Says the stipler, the difference between an emunah that causes a person, that is a call to action for a person, it's got to be a stronger emunah. An emunah that we have, that we know, that tefillah is a tremendous koyach, may not be enough. And if you think about it, we need a much more qualitative emunah, a different emunah. Emunah based on our experience in life. It's said that when the Yalta from Kelim had a nesoyon, he had a struggle with some important decision. He would imagine that he was standing in front of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And he would imagine Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was looking at him, and this would cause the Alta to make the right decision. The Sifsei Chaim asks, he doesn't understand. If the Alta wanted to make the right decision, he should have imagined that he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To think that he's standing in front of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, why? So Sifsei Chaim answers with the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sick, and the Talmidim came to ask for a bracha, Imagine you're speaking next year, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We'll introduce Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, will come up, and everybody will expect to hear unbelievable words of wisdom. Some unique, profound insight. Something you've never heard before. Something that only Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can impart to us. You know what the Gemara said? You know what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told his Talmidim? When they said, give us a blessing, they were the words of his blessing. Yehi ratzayin shetei moru shemayim aleichem kemoru basav adam. Imagine, that's the blessing. So his Talmidim said, the student said, that's it? Come on. But we're looking for something, you know, that give us some great insight. Yeah, moru shemayim aleichem kemoru basav adam. So what did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answer? He said, all of I. Teidu, you should know. When a person sins, he says, I hope no one's looking. Rashi explains, a person knows fully that Hashem sees everything. But yet, that won't stop him. Why? So the Sifsei Chaim explains with this yesod, that there's a difference between an emunah with an understanding that's based on a person's seichel. It's true, we know certain things, but a more qualitative belief is based on the experience that a person has. And there's another remarkable Gemara, because this concept is not just an emunah. This concept applies for a person to excel in any area of ruchnius, in any area of spirituality. The Gemara is in the Dorim Daf Chavbeis, a remarkable Gemara. The Gemara says, "Kol hakoes kol minei gehenim shalten boy." If a person is angry, all types of gehenim will rule over him. The loyoid, not only that, not only will he have gehenim, he'll have taktoinius. You know what taktoinius is? So I looked it up in article. Taktoinius, I'll tell you what article says. Article wrote it, that must be true. Taktoinios is hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids. So I once gave a lecture, and we had, you know, men and women, we were talking about midas, and I said, listen, if you ever get into a struggle, you have a situation, a fight, husband and wife, I said to the women, don't tell your husband, you know, you're going to get your hand for this. Just mention hemorrhoids. That's all you have to. It's a Beresh Gemara. The Gemara says it. The stipler asks, what's the Balayayid? You tell him, Nawat Gehenim. No, that won't stop him. You tell him hemorrhoids, that'll do it. It's a Gemara. So the stipler says, this same aside. The stipler says, listen, there's no doubt that the pain and the punishment of Gehenim is worse than Tachtainis. But the pachad on the person. You want someone to change. You want someone to stop what he's doing and to do the right thing. You're going to tell him about some concept, some lofty concept. He knows it. But if he hasn't changed until now, it's not going to make it happen. It's not going to be a difference. You want him to change. Mention something that he's experienced. Something that he has a pachad. A person that has a pachad. That's the kind of person who'll change. And if you think about it, I believe that's the reason why we blow the shofar every morning in Elul. Why? Everybody knows what shofar represents. You have to come in. When I heard the shofar on the second day of Rosh Chodesh, it was like, wow. To me, it was my alarm clock. It was wake up, do something. Do something different. You know what you need to do. But it's not enough. It's not enough to know about it. And it's not enough to hear it once. It's something that we have to experience. In the stillness of the shul, in the quiet, in the so-called solitude, waiting for that shofar, for the shrill sound to be heard. And when you hear it, it does something to us. If I would tell you, shofar means, yeah, fine, nice, yeah, I've heard many different explanations, a lot of wonderful things. But when you experience the sound and you know what that sound represents, it does something. Igniting the power of prayer. It's not enough to know the koyach hatfila, because we know it and we've known about it for many years. They're wonderful, wonderful svarim for many wonderful people about the Koyach HaTfilah. And yet if you think about it, Tfilah is called Dvarim Ha'ayinim Berumah Shalaylam. The greatest oxymoron, V'odom Mezalzalim Behem. How could that be? How could you describe something being Berumah Shalaylam? All the way up there. V'odom Mezalzalim Behem. Who in their right mind would be Mezalzal something that you just described it as doing? Berumah Shalaylam. So it's not enough to know. It's not enough to intellectualize, to articulate, to discuss. We need something more. We need something that's like Tachtonis to wake us up. Something we can experience to let us know that tefillah is the most powerful vehicle to change our lives. And especially when we're in that vault for the 10 days in the Aseret Tshuva. There's a Gemara in Barakas, Nuntes Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that thunder was created. You know why? To straighten out the crookedness of the heart. And the Mashal explains the Gemara. He says, thunder is terrifying. When you hear thunder, a person has a pachad, a fear. So, when I was looking at this Gemara, I went to my daughter. I said, Elisheva, you hear thunder? Thunder? Over the weekend it was thunder. I said, what do you think? He said, Abba, come on. I've heard that thunder so many times. I said, it's a Gemara. What are you? It's a Gemara. So Rab Desla, when they asked Rab Desla, you know, when he went to Panovich at the Mashkiach, and there were certain people that objected to the type of Musa that he was giving. And when he went on a visit back to England, he told some of his Talmidim and Gates that he said, they think it's Nit Musa, it's not Musa. But Rav Desla continued to give that kind of a Musa. And when they asked Rav Desla, Mashkiach, Hakam and Kelm, they didn't give your kind of Musa. So Rav Desla said beautifully, every generation has its own language. Every generation. At the time of the Gemara, maybe Ram, maybe thunder, yes. You have the pachad. And nowadays there are still little children that have a pachad. But for our generation, we need a different type of thunder. And I believe that the type of thunder that we've experienced recently, as the Irish that tries to wake us up and to get us to realize that we need to beg and beseech and place all our trust and faith in Him. You know what our generation thunder is? It's called an economic meltdown. We've all experienced, everyone at their own level. There isn't a person that I know that I can say who hasn't been affected. Directly, indirectly. 6 million people have lost their jobs. We know the names of the venerable companies, the GMs and all the other names that I remember years ago. They would say, that company, if they're not here, then guess what, we're in trouble. Well, guess what, we're in trouble. Because a lot of the companies aren't here anymore. They say unemployment is 10%. I recently read that if you take into account those people who's cut down on their hours and those people who just, they haven't gone out to find jobs, unemployment is closer to 16%. And the question is, what do we do with this? This is obviously our thunder and our generation. And the Avishta wants something from us. And we remember that this started Mamashon Erev Rosh Hashanah of last year. I can't tell you why it happened. Some will say one way, some will say another. I can only tell you what Rav Tzadik HaKoyen says in Tzidkos HaTzadik. Ois Kuf Samachas. Listen to the Lashon. Kasha Noivol Ala Adam Pachad. When there's a pachad, a fear that falls on a person, may Eze Dabba for whatever it is, us take up Yavake Shrachamim Lehinotzal Mizeh. It's a call to arms to Davin Tagarishbahu to save him. Why? You know why the Eibishter sent this pachad, this fear? Is to awaken the person and to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to relieve this. And Rav Tzadok continues, Kesha HaKadosh Baruch Hu roitze lehetiv la'adam. The Eibishter is a mativ. I repeat, the Eibishter is a mativ. The reason why we were all created was for one purpose, to give us the opportunity in the Eibishter's bank vault called Olam Hazeh, with the struggle and the Nisyonos to do mitzvahs and learn Torah and Chesed, so that we can have the ultimate toiv of the Olam Haba. And it's true, it's difficult, and we struggle. But that's why the reward is so immense. Because it's supposed to be a struggle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be a mativ, he wants to give us good. Says Rav Tzadok, HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes, Lahetim la'adam v'roitzeh. You know what he wants from us? Ratsha yispal ha'adam al hadaveh. You're having a tough time. Eibishter says, I know that. But read between the lines. I want you to daven to me. I want you to get close to me. I want you to speak to me. Oz mazmin lefonov tsar. I pachad me ingo vaze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a tsar and a pachad. It's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mative. What Tzadik is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us situations to get us to realize that we need to daven to Him. And if we daven with the right kavona, with the right attitude, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'ezras Hashem will relieve that sorrow from us. To understand this a little bit better, the question is, why bechlal do we have to daven? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good for us. The manavshach. If we're deserving of the good, we'll get it. And if we're not deserving of the good, what good is it to daven? What, are we going to change his mind? The Nefesh HaChayim asks even in more than that. If a person is having difficulty, that means this is what's best for him because it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if that's so, can you imagine, you go to the doctor, the doctor said, okay, here's what you need to do. You say, you know, doc, you know, I really don't like the medication. Doc said, okay, no problem, hey, don't take it, fine. Well, I get better, no, but hey, you don't want the medication. Doesn't make sense. So the Nefesh HaChayim, this is your medication, the tzara, whatever it is, the difficulty, the challenge, the issue. It's our medication. It's to cleanse us. It's to be masakein us. It's to help us. So why would a person daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change it? And he gives a mashal, a sick person who wants to be cured. He's davening that Hashem take away the sickness. He is, in concept, l'choya, why should the person daven? So the yesod of tefillah is, and this is the yesod, the Maral and others, I happen to mention it in Praying with Fire 1. Tefillah does not change a bad decree. Tefillah does not change HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. Tefillah is to elevate us. You see, when a person realizes that he needs to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his Yeshua is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he elevates himself. The Ramchal's Lashon is, in Yinat Tfilahu, Hashelios, Hanivroi, Mekablim, Shefa Mimenu Yizbarech. In order for the Bria, we, to get the Shefa of Baruch of Hashem, Sarach Shu Yisoiriru, Hei Mei Lav. We need to awaken ourselves towards Hashem. V'yiskavu Lav, Yavakshu Panav. We need to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukafi ha'is'ayrarosam lai, and into the level of the we awaken ourselves, kein yimshach aleihem shefa. The closer we feel to Hashem, the higher level, the higher madrega we are, and therefore the greater we are as a keli, as a vehicle, as a vessel, to receive the toy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral says, HaTfila, the purpose of Tfila is to be mashlim the person. when he's missing something and he realizes that the only place where he can become whole is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Yesod of Tefillah. We sometimes think that Tefillah is a wish list. And it's true, we ask for things and we're supposed to ask. But we learn from the case of the Nachash. The Nachash had everything wherever he want. He wasn't missing anything. Wherever he went, there was Afa. Now listen, I know it's not Filet Mignon. I know that. But wherever he went, he wasn't missing anything. And yet, that's called the biggest klala. Man gets cursed, b'zeis ha'pecha toicha lechem. Gotta make a living. Women have their own issue in bringing up the children and giving birth. But that's not the greatest klala. The greater klala is the nachash. Why? And you know what the answer is? Because when a person has everything, when a person realizes or thinks that they're not chosar, they're not vulnerable, they're not missing anything, they have no need to reach out to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the biggest klala. Because the yesod of tefillah, the koyach tefillah, the power of prayer, is in our recognition that we need Hashem, that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to succeed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a bracha which sometimes kind of doesn't work out that way. He gave us ability. He gave us opportunity to do things on our own, which we call hishtadlus. But we sometimes take that a little bit more than that. And we forget that as much as we put in the hishtadlus, the effort, our hatzlacha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I must tell you something that happened to me this evening. It's 6 o'clock and I'm at home. And I need to print out this lecture that I'm giving from my computer. So I'm sitting in my office on my laptop, ready to go. And usually when I print out a lecture, I put on top, Bei Samach Dalit. Which is what I should do. Because it's all with Siyata Dishmaya. It's 6 o'clock, I gotta leave, there's things I have to take care of, I'm to tumult. So I figured, you know what, I'll put it, when it prints out, I'll write Beis Samach Dalit. I'm pressing all the buttons in the house. Nothing's gone. It's 6:05. What am I going to do? I can't come in with my laptop and just read. Maybe the president can do it with the teleprompter. I can't. So of course I called Phil and Baruch Hashem with Siyata Dishmaya, and I told you at the time on the phone. I didn't write Beis Samach Dalit. I thought, you know what? You press the button and it works. Not so. It's not so. Shlomo Svadron used to tell a story about Rav Chatzkel Levenstein. One day he came to visit Rav Chatzkel and he found him in a very happy mood. And Rav Chatzkel explained why he was so happy. He told him, he said, you know, his entire life he'd been very poor. When he was a mashkiach in the Mir in Europe and later in Shanghai, he didn't have much money. Rav Chatzkel said, now that he's the mashkiach in Panovich, Rav Chatzkel, he got a check on time. And when that happens, he kind of, you know, tefillah gets a little bit, Hasashon, Rav Chatzkel, but Rav Chatzkel said, Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva is behind. They're behind. I haven't gotten my check. I now am davening the way I used to daven when I had no money at all. Baruch Hashem. When a person feels that he's chosar, when a person feels that he can't do it on his own, when a person feels that he needs to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when he becomes closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the message of Rav Tzadik HaKohen. It's true, the thunder may not do the job for our generation, but we have an economic meltdown and people realize that, guess what, for some reason it's not working the way it used to. As Rav Tzadik says, that's a simin HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, who's a maitiv, he wants to give his shef HaBracha. But he wants us to daven. With this yesod, I'd like to answer a question, something that bothered me for many, many years. And the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, every single day we will be saying, Avinu Malkeinu. You know what the last of the Avinu Malkeinus is? Avinu Malkeinu Chonenu Va'anenu. Have mercy and answer. Ein banu masim asayim banu tztoko b'chesed b'hoshienu. This last Avinu Malkeinu bothered me for years. It bothered me to no end. Because the very last tefillah on Yom Kippur, when we're going to have our slicha and our kapora and our yeshua, the very last tefillah, after the culmination of 10 days in the vault, begging and beseeching and asking, and hoping that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachamim on us, the very last tefillah, you know what we say? Does it make sense? Imagine you're going for a job interview. And the job is going to pay you $400,000 a year. And there's daycare and there's transportation. And they'll even send someone to your employment to interview you about your daughter for a shidduch. Everything. All the issues that we have. This is not talking, this is serious stuff. Because there are issues. And we need yeshuas. Can you imagine this is an opportunity of a lifetime? And you're sitting down with the interviewer, the potential employer, and he says to you, why should I give you all this? And you know what you say? Chonenu v'anenu. Ein banu masim. I have no education. I have no experience. Haseyim anu tztaka v'chesed v'hoshienu. Makes no sense. If I would have written the Avinu Malkeinu, the last Avinu Malkeinu would have been Avinu Malkeinu Eivishter. I learned Torah, I daven, I give tzedakah, I help people out, I'm good to my wife. All the virtues. Ein banu masim aseim banu tzedakah v'chesed v'hoshienu. This bothered me until I realized. You know what the pshat is? The most powerful tefillah, the most powerful tefillah, is when we admit to ourselves, when we say it out, Ein banu masim. We're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aseyim manu tztoko v'chesed v'hoshienu. You are our Avinu Malkeinu. The closeness of the relationship is that you are my father and I am your child. And I reckon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Melech, and you can do anything. And I realize, and don't misunderstand me, Klal Yisrael is wonderful. We do wonderful things. There is no nation like the Am Yisrael. But to say over what the Chovos HaVavos says, Im Hoya Maisa HaAdam Gechol Hayom B'Mispa. If the actions of a person would equal the amount of sand by the sea, lo yeshoko b'toyva achas min ha-toyvas Hashem yizbar b'olam hazeh. We get so much from HaKadosh Baruch. It's true. We are wonderful. And we do wonderful things. To have an initiative that you have here year after year, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Tremendous Kiddush Hashem. But you know what the Yevush they give us in return? He gives us every moment of life. And He gives us every moment of whatever level of gezunt, and whatever level of livelihood, and whatever level of nachas, whatever level of shalom. But if you're sitting here in decent health, relatively speaking, and Baruch Hashem, we have a roof over our heads, that's a tremendous, tremendous toy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the only thing to say, if we really want to connect and ignite the power of tefillah, is to experience it. Ein banu masim. Eivishter, we're begging you. We're begging you. Ein banu masim. What you do is incomparable. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. It's awesome. I'm begging you. Avinu Malkeinu. You're my Av. You're the Melech. You can do anything. I'm begging you, Ein banu masim, I don't have enough to equal what you do for me. Chonenu v'anenu aseim manu tztoko v'chesed v'hoshienu. So the first way to ignite the power of prayer is to experience when we have the difficulties in life, be it large or small, When we come from a year that had a lot of difficulty for many, many people in many different ways. And I don't have to enumerate all the different nisyonos and the issues and the problems, because there are many. When we realize, like Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, that when a pachad and a tzara comes to a person needs to realize, and it's not just an intellectual concept, when we experience that we're chosa, when we feel that we're in need, and we realize that ein banu masim asei manu tztocha b'chesed v'hoishiyenu, that experience should ignite for us the koyach hatfilah, and to get us to realize that the only one who can help us, the only one who can help us, is HaKadosh Baruch. But I'd like to suggest another way. Perhaps a way that is not as painful. A way that we don't have to go through so much difficulty. Maybe a better way to ignite the power of prayer. The Shluch HaKadosh advises us. He said that a person is mechuyev to daven from anything that he needs at any time. You see, we sometimes make a mistake. We think that tefillah is three times a day, shacharis, mincha, and maariv, and that's it. And it's true that the standard tefillah, as I mentioned earlier, that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wrote for us, was for those three times. But that doesn't mean that a person should have done it any other time. Several years ago, one of the rabbonim in Flatbush called me. He had a meeting with President Bush. It seems that the president was meeting with several rabbonim from different communities. And he asked me to come over. He wanted to discuss. He's got 6 minutes to talk to the president of the United States. What should he discuss? I said, I've never been by the president of the United States. We went through all the issues. What should he talk about? 6 minutes. And they're exact over there. Imagine, I thought about it. We don't have 6 minutes. You can stand by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemon Esrei for as long as you want. Somebody once asked me, how long should I daven Shemon Esrei? I told him, as long as it takes for you to feel that you've asked everything that you need by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the brachas. We don't even have to think. What should we say? The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wrote them with nevuah. But that's only the standard tefillah. We have an opportunity during the day to daven on our own for anything and everything that a person feels that they need. Somebody once wrote a letter to the Chofetz Chaim. It was a Jewish soldier who had been drafted into the Polish army. The soldier wrote in the letter that he'd been assigned to a base far out from civilization. He was unable to keep Shabbos. He was unable to eat kashrus. He was unable to do any mitzvah just about. What should he do? So the Chofetz Chaim replied. He says, if it's impossible for you to keep Shabbos, if it's impossible for you to eat kashrus or to daven with a minyan, don't be discouraged. Because there's one thing that you can and must do. Whenever you have a free moment, speak to God. We have an opportunity to always speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you want to know something? These are our personal prayers, our custom-made prayers, if you will. And oftentimes, we say them with a little bit more kavanah. I'll tell you a remarkable story that happened with me. Several months ago, I was going to Teaneck. We had a Shabbos on tefillah in several shuls, similar to what we're doing over here. And I went for a Shabbos. So, of course, I don't go towards Teaneck very often. I don't go toward the George Washington Bridge very often. And here I am driving on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. A couple of hours, I figured, from where I live, 40-minute drive. Okay, I'll go 2 hours. 2 hours, no, two hours and 10 minutes. Little did I realize, as people told me afterwards, 2 hours and 10 minutes on a Friday afternoon near the George Washington Bridge may not be enough. So here I am sitting in my car, looking at my digital clock, and becoming more nervous as the seconds and the minutes ticked away. Finally, with about 40 minutes to Shkia, and traffic not moving at all, 2 miles from the George Washington Bridge, and then I have to go on Route 4. I call up my friend in Teaneck, New Jersey, and I said, Listen, it's time to get out the Tehillim Brigade. Call whomever you know and let's start saying Tehillim, please. I may not make it in Tinek for Shabbos. And we had six shuls that were ready, speaking here and speaking there. And I didn't think that would be the best conclusion to my efforts. And when I finished the phone call, I put my cell phone down and I said a tefillah. I said, hey, Vishta, I'm doing this for you. You got to help me out, please. I'm Zal Lashon. And I'll tell you something. I was more curious. I knew that I would get there. But I was kind of curious, look. It's 2 miles to the bridge. Nothing's moving. And nothing's going to move. And this is not going to be Shloy Alpi Derech HaTeva. All of a sudden the cars will not have like wings. You know what I mean? And elevate themselves. My car doesn't have wings. How is he going to do this? I was curious. And I looked in front of me and nothing was moving. And I looked on the side and nothing is moving. As soon as I finished that little tefillah, two cars behind me was an ambulance. I forgot to look behind me. And this ambulance puts on a siren. And you know what happens when an ambulance on a three-lane highway where nothing's moving starts the sound, starts to wail? Everybody moves to the side. Unless you drive in Brooklyn. If you drive in Brooklyn, you know that that is your cue. To tailgate to the best of your ability, right? Rabbi Wasser, you know what I'm talking about, right? Unfortunately, you may not have had the benefit of honing the craft for the last several years since you've been here. But Baruch Hashem, I have that opportunity almost every other day. And that's exactly what I did. This is a Maizah Shehoya. I'm not deviating, I'm not exaggerating. For a mile and a quarter, I went behind the ambulance. Sometimes I was concerned I might wind up in the ambulance. But, and Baruch Hashem, I made it literally 5 minutes. 5 minutes. You don't have to go to a different shul, drop off what I'm going to do. 5 minutes. Mamish, 5 minutes. The Kayach HaTefillah. Now, I'm not saying it works every single time. That's the Yevishin's Cheshbon. You know what the Gemara tells us? The Gemara tells us, and we paskin like that in Shulchan Aruch, when you go to a doctor, after you've gone to the doctor for whatever the treatment, or you take medication, say a tefillah. Say a tefillah, you rots, and you can say it in your own language also. That this refuah should be a Yeshua for me. Rabbi Victor Miller used to tell people, when you go to a client in business, say a tefillah. When a customer comes in to you, say a tefillah. Tefillahs during the day are so valuable. You see, when a person says a tefillah for every little thing, when you say a tefillah before you get up in front of an impressive audience and you say a little tefillah, Eibush, to help me, that I can remember what I want to say and I should be matzliach. And when you give a thanks after you're done, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I can print it out on a computer. When a person does that, it helps. It helps to bring him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very painless way, because we don't have to experience the tzara. We can experience our lives on the day-to-day busy part of our lives and to say a tefillah every time. There's a beautiful quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik that I read that encapsulates this last nekuda that I'm mentioning. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that he learned a certain element of Torah from his mother. And he says, as opposed to the Musa he learned from his father, what he learned from his mother was the following. And I quote, "Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. I learned from my mother the most important thing in life is to feel the pressure of the Almighty and the gentle, the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders." To feel that everything, every moment, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. And if we feel that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help for every moment, it's a time and it's a reason to say a tefillah. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that he learned from his mother. Well, let me tell you a story of something that I learned from my mother. My mother went through the Holocaust. She was from Hungary. And she would tell me the story many, many times. It seems this goes back to 1944. And at the time, they told the 500 Jews or so in this little town that they must stay together in this hotel, this old dilapidated hotel that was able to seat 150, 175, sleep, I don't know, no more than 200. And my mother had been there for several days and several nights with her two younger sisters. And they were able to go out to the town square from 10 o'clock in the morning until the curfew at 5 o'clock. And one day she went out to the town square and she met this Gentile woman who had been her neighbor from the Alta Haim where my mother grew up. And the families got along for many, many years. And she had not seen this woman for in a long time. And this woman said to my mother, "Why don't you come stay with me? I'll hide you in the attic. Don't worry, you'll be safe." My mother said, "You know, we've been here for 10 days now and it's okay, it's okay." And she said, "Listen, I'm going to be back in the town square at 5 o'clock before I go home. If you're here, I'll take you with me." My mother went back, and the way I remember the story, she said, it was around 4:30, I went back to this old dilapidated hotel, and I started to shake. I started to tremble, and I started to sweat. And I didn't really know why, what was going on. I just kind of had this urge that I've got to get out of here. And I told my two young assistants, "We need to leave." And they said, "What? Leave? We've been here. Who knows? We're going to go elsewhere. Some Gentile. Who knows what's going to happen with us?" My mother said that no, she just felt. And at 10 to 5, she grabbed the two sisters and she ran out. And she went to the town square. And on her way out, she looked behind her. Then she realized that the big doors were closing. They were being locked. There was a curfew at 5. Never to return to that old hotel. And sure enough, she met this Gentile woman, her old neighbor, who took her to her home and had her and two sisters up in the attic. After an uneventful evening, the next morning at around 11 o'clock, she hears this lady come in, the landlord, the woman that they were staying by, and she was screaming. She was screaming for my mother to come down from the attic. My mother came down, all aghast. What's going on? What's happening? And she said, "I want you to look at this." She threw the newspaper on the kitchen table. And on the newspaper was a picture. The picture was of the old hotel where they had stayed the night before, burning. The Germans, Yimach Shemam, they killed everybody. They set it ablaze and they showed some of the bodies strewn on the street in front of the hotel. That was the story. My mother used to tell this to me. From time to time, for many years she didn't tell me anything, but then this was that one story. And when I asked her, I said, "Ma, how did you know this is life and death, what to do? To go from a place that you'd been safe and sound for 10 days to someone that wasn't Jewish, you would never know what's going to be." So I'll never forget what my mother would tell me many, many times. She would say, she said, "You know what I always do when I have a dilemma? When I feel that I need some guidance, that I need some help, but I don't think I have the answer on my own, I look heavenward and I say, Zisa Bashefa, help me, help me." And she said, "Look at that. He always helps me." My mother was not educated. My mother did not have a Jewish education. It came from a feeling. However she got it, I don't know. When a person has that feeling, that whenever they need help, and believe me, we need help even to get a computer to print out something that it does or seems automatically. When a person needs help, it's not just during the three standard tefillahs that we have that opportunity. We always have that opportunity. And we don't have to wait for the tzaras and the difficulty and all the issues to come up. We don't have to wait for the computer to not to print. To realize that the Beis HaMikdalet always belongs on everything that we do. Because everything that we do and in whatever we succeed in our life, big or small, comes from a siyata d'shmaya, from a help from above. And like Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, we need to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a meitiv. That's why He created us. That's why this world was created. For us. He just wants us to have this relationship, to be close to Him. Rav Dessler writes, "Aidei tefila yachalu his alois vil his roimim lehidovig oid yoisa b'shem yizbar." Through tefila, a person can elevate himself, and he can attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'aidei zeh, through that, yeroyu l'siyata d'shmayu l'kelem shu mevakesh, for the things that we ask in life. Two suggestions so far. The first one was Rav Tzadik. When we experience situations in life that are difficult, it may not be enough to intellectualize the concept. We go through the experience to awaken us and to let us know that we need to reach out and to daven. And when we do so, we elevate ourselves. And then we're roy, we're worthy for the Shefa Toiva from the Brach of HaMakadosh Baruch Hu. The second approach, the second strategy. We don't have to wait for the situations to arise. You have something to do, someplace to go. Say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah, Eibush to help me. Get me there on time. Get me there safely. I want to be matzliach. We don't have to wait. Ultimately, in both situations, we're asking for rachamim, for mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if these two approaches, if these two strategies don't work, I would suggest that you try what Rabbi Akiva did. I mentioned before the Avinu Malkeinu, and I mentioned that is a most powerful tefillah that the Torah brings down. And that's why we say during the Aseret Simei Tshuva, and especially that last Avinu Malkeinu, Ein Banu Masim, which is the most powerful prayer that we have at the very last moment of the most holiest day that we have. But the truth is, the Avinu Malkeinu came from a Gemara in Tainus in Daf Chafei Amud Aleph. And the Gemara told us that they had no rain in Eretz Yisrael. And they had to be Geyser at Tainus to come and to fast so that they can have rain. And the Gemara tells us, Maisa Rebbe Eliezer, Shegoza Sholosh Esrei Taniyos Alatzibur, and it still didn't rain. And you know what happened? Finally, Yored Rabbi Akiva, the Oma Avinu Malkeinu. The same words that we invoke and we recite. Hein lanu melech ela ato. Avinu Malkeinu. Laman charachem aleinu. And guess what? It rained. So the Gemara says that a baskol came out and said, not because Rabbi Akiva was greater than Rabbi Elazar, not because Rabbi Eliezer was less than Rabbi Akiva, said the Gemara El Shazer, Mava al Midoisa Vazain, a Mava al Midoisa. You know what a Mava al Midoisa is? Rashi tells us, we are all harmed in one way or another. Hopefully we'll be Dalakavskus accidentally, sometimes absentmindedly. It happens. We get insulted, we get embarrassed, we get pushed around, literally and figuratively. If a person wants rachamim, the Gemara tells us that if a person is a mav al midoisa, he's willing to overlook the blight, he's willing to overlook what was said to him. If a person is a maval midoisav, he will be zoicha like Rabbi Akiva was. Because the Gemara tells us, kol hamarachem al abriyos, marachem im olav min ha-shamayim. V'chol she'ein hamarachem al abriyos, ein hamarachem im ha-shamayim. Imagine, we're standing in tefillah. Choneinu v'aneinu. What a wonderful opportunity. To be a mavel midoisa. To be able to try to forgive and forget. And it's not easy. Don't think I've mastered it, because I haven't. And when I say it for me. Because I need to do it more and more. Because of the tremendous power that a person gives himself. And the tefillah when he asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rachamim. It's interesting in the Sim Shalom. We say, Baruchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad. I heard from Ramat Hashem Solomon that if we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the rachamim on us, Kerachem av al bonim, that only a parent can have for a child, then we have to realize, Borcheinu avinu kulanu ke'echod, if Hashem is my father and I'm his son, then he's your father and you're his son. And that makes you and I, we are brothers. Borcheinu avinu kulanu ke'echod. If we're not ke'echod, then we don't deserve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Borcheinu like an avinu. The closeness, the feeling of a relationship. You remember this story I gave you about the person who's going for the job interview? And he says, $400,000 in daycare and everything, and he says, I have no education, I have no experience. And I said, that's absurd. But let's say I changed the facts and I said to you that the potential employer that you're interviewing is none other than your father. Guess what? If you tell him I went to Wharton, he's going to say, hey, I got a whole list of resumes of people that went to MIT. And if you tell him you've got 5 years of experience, he'll say, I've got people banging down my door that got 15 years of experience. I'm not going to give you the job because of your experience and your education or whatever you bring to the table. Ein baruch masim. I am your avinu. And that's the only reason why I'm giving you the job. The rachmanis that a parent has for a child is unsurpassed. And therefore, if we want to ask for this rachman from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be Borcheinu avinu kulanu ke'echot. Kerachev av al bonim. So the third strategy in trying to ignite the power of prayer, which is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rachamim, choneinu v'aneinu, is if we have an opportunity to be a mabal midosa, to treat someone that perhaps, you know, we're not so, you know what I mean? To treat them just a little bit better. I'm not asking, I'm not saying all of a sudden you invite them over tomorrow, let's go out for dinner. It's difficult. But if we take that little step, you know what that means in the rachamim scale? I thought to myself that perhaps what I should ask is, people should look at their neighbor. Look at the person sitting next to you. And visualize that it's someone that, maybe it's someone that you don't really say good Shabbos to every single time. And visualize that this time, this Shabbos, Be'ezus Hashem and Elul, and a Shabbos Shuva, you'll say good Shabbos to the person. What a small little step which speaks volumes. These are my three strategies to try how to ignite the power of prayer. You know, when we come into shul in the morning, we say, "Va'ani barov chazdecha avo beisecha." Avo beisecha. This is the vault. Avo beisecha. This is the place where we can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah for anything that is dear to us, for things that we need. And not only can we ask for things outside of the three standard tefillahs, the Mishabura brings down from the Chayei Adam that in the Elokai Mitzor he says, ask for anything you want at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. Ubulvad should be from the depth of your heart. Tefillah, kavana, it's the most powerful tool. It's dvarim ha'ayin b'rum shalaylam, yet the oxymoron, v'adam mezalzal b'hem. We all know, we all believe in the koyach ha'tefillah. But like noyach ha'tzadik, there is belief and then there is a stronger level, a more qualitative level of belief. The belief that comes not just from understanding a concept, but from literally experiencing, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his bracha to his talmidim was, that the Moira of Shemayim can be Kemoira Basav Adam, because that's something we experience. And the experience that the Gemara said, if you don't want someone to be a kasson, to have anger, tell them about Gehenna, but don't forget to remind them about Tachtonias. Because the feelings that we have make our belief stronger. The experiences that we go through make our belief, it can withstand the test of time. So strategy number one was, when we have a situation, When we experience difficulty, it's for us to experience something and to really feel, like Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, it's an opportunity Hashem is calling. He wants to be a Meitiv. And He knows that we believe in Tefillah. But He wants you to feel it. He wants you to experience it. And He wants us never to forget it. That the reason for the Tzar is to awaken us, to bring us closer. The second strategy was, we don't have to wait for the Tzaris. Whether you're on your way to Teaneck, and there's nothing moving for 2 miles, or if your printer just won't print the share, and you need to get it done. The Eitzah is, say a Tefillah. Like Rabbi Victor Miller says, say a Tefillah in business. And like the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tells us, say a Tefillah when it comes to medicine. When it comes to going to a doctor, say a Tefillah. Like Rav Soloveitchik suggested, and the story that my mother said, that worked for her because Hashem always comes through. And Baruch Hashem, He does. And strategy number 3. If we really want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanis on us, when we're standing at the last moment of Yom Kippur, Alvidu Makenu Choneinu Va'aneinu Ein Banu Masim, and we recognize the reality of our situation, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help us. We have opportunities. It's difficult. But we can take small steps. Small steps can be big things. It's like the person running around in the vault for 10 minutes. Hop 100 here and 100 there and 100 there, and even a 10 over here and a 5 over there. It all helps. My bracha is, we have an opportunity. We're davening anyways. It doesn't take extra time. Let us try to be machazik. And let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us, that we can have kavana, and that we can ignite the power of our prayer. And Be'ez Hashem, in that chus, and in this chus of what this wonderful community, the tremendous Kiddush Hashem that they're all doing, and that chus will be zeicha to have a wonderful year with Yeshuais and the Chomois, and to bring the Geula, Bekorev, Mamash, B'meher, V'yameinu, Amen.